Thank you, Robin. That was super fun. I don't know about each of you, but I could just feel that red-tailed hawk coming through. It's so beautiful. Thank you. So it's totally true. All of you laid out the themes of today's class. And in a way, we do need to do this work. And the work we're going to do today is life work. It's work that we all have to do if we're really going to mature into our fullest, freest, liberated selves. And today we're going to start to do the real work of digging down towards that inner voice. And so the question is, how do we reach that inner voice? How do we reach the place within ourselves that's already utterly free, that's already totally in touch with wisdom? How do we reach that place? And why, if it's already awake, don't we hear it? Why don't we hear it all the time? Why isn't it completely present in our lives to us? If it truly is a part of who we are, if it's always present within us, why don't we experience our own inner wisdom all the time? And the answer to that is really very simple. It's because what we're paying attention to is something else. It's not that it's not there. It's just that other things have captured our attention. And for most of us, that thing that is always capturing our attention is the process of the mind thinking its thoughts in our head. And what the mind generally wants to think about is our stories from the past. Even when we're experiencing something in the present, it's usually through the lens of something from the past. And so what we're going to work with today are our voices from the past, because that's exactly what's getting in the way. It's that monologue of the mind that's getting in the way and covering up our own experience of our inner voice of wisdom and our inner experience of freedom and spontaneity and. It's really helpful, actually, to make a list. You know, what is it that we want? Freedom, spontaneity, ease. Ease is a great one. To make a list of what it is we're aiming for, health and wholeness. What is it that we long for? So we're going to do a little work with that a little bit later. But first, I just want to lay out some of this kind of the landscape of how we're going to approach it. And I want to say right from the beginning, we're going to be working with our old stories and hopefully with some of our most painful stories, the ones that really feel like they're getting in our way, but we are not going to be sharing them with each other. So you don't have to worry, oh my gosh, do I have to share this painful story? I mean, obviously you can if you want, and there will be time, but you don't have to. So we want to work today with difficult material, with what's really holding us back. But we don't have to lay that out on the table. We can work with it within ourselves. So everyone has these stories, the stories that kind of repeat themselves in our mind, and the way that they repeat them is very familiar. And they define who we think we are. For a long time, I had certain ideas about who I was. And I'll talk about that more in a minute. And it wasn't until I turned around and leaned in and faced those stories, those definitions of who and what I was, that I was able to begin to be free from them. We can't just write a new story. If we did, everything unfinished from our previous life story would still be calling us back. So we do have this tremendous freedom. We can kind of always reinvent who we are. But those really painful places in us somehow they have to be healed for us to really feel whole. And so turning around and leaning into these places is the path to uncovering that wisdom in our heart. For me, in my own life, this came about, my first taste of this, I mean, I'd experienced glimpses and done a lot of spiritual practice, lived in a Zen monastery for 2 years, worked with a Hindu guru very, very closely for a very long time. But that spiritual practice was my way of getting away from my difficult story. So I was playing a game with myself. If I'm just spiritual enough, if I just meditate enough, if I just eat the right foods and hang out with the right people, I will never have to deal with my painful past. And, you know, and I'm making a bargain, in a way, making a bargain with God, right? I'm going to do all this good stuff, and you are going to lift me out of this messy, awful place, and I'm not going to have to do another thing, and I'll never have to face that person again, and you're going to get rid of them for me, right? Mm-hmm. And that game just didn't work. It brought me a lot, because spiritual practice does bring us a lot. When we meditate, and when we eat the right foods, and when we hang out with the right people, it brings healing and wholeness. But it doesn't really change the story. As Lindsay pointed out, the only way that the story will begin to look different is when we learn how to look at it differently. And as Emily pointed out, just because it's uncomfortable doesn't mean it's wrong. Actually, that level of uncomfort, that discomfort that's coming again and again and again is calling us to lean in and learn the lesson that's contained within that life story. So I don't want to get into too many details, but for me, my life story involved something that many, many women have experienced. It involved sexual abuse at a very young age by an older family relative. And the really horrifying thing for me was that my daughter, I had to watch her go through the exact same thing. And when I woke up and realized that this pattern that had been in my life was also in hers, all of a sudden, all that spiritual practice did not amount to a hill of beans if I couldn't get to the root of that suffering. If I couldn't get to the root and the core and learn how to change my relationship to that story of powerless victimhood that not only held me captive, but transferred to my daughter. How could that happen? Because I carried my story and didn't lean in. I didn't do the work of really listening to and learning from my life story. What changed it for me was an incredibly powerful moment when I was in the presence, alone, with a man for whom I had infinite respect, who had suffered so much more deeply than I could ever suffer in my life. He had lost his entire family in the Holocaust. His father died in his arms in a railroad car when they were leaving the concentration camp. He lost his village. He lost his entire way of life. And this man stood in front of me and with total compassion said, "Please tell me your story." And I said, "It's very personal." He said, "Write it down and I will read it." And again, he said, "Write it down and I will read it." And I went home and I had 3 weeks to make peace with my story and to tell it as truthfully as I could to this man for whom I had total, total respect. And so I leaned in and I told my story again and again to myself, and I listened to the way I had been telling it, and I realized something very basic. The way I was telling this story said, "I'm a victim." And the way I was telling that story said, "That man is a bad man." And I realized that I was creating the story like a chain to hang around my neck. And that to really tell my story to this man who I respected, I had to do several very difficult things. I had to tell the truth not only for me, I had to tell the truth for every person in the story. I had to understand what the truth was for the boy who raped my daughter. I had to understand what the truth was for the boy, now a grown man, who had sexually abused me. I had to understand what the truth was for me and for my daughter. Not the truth from my perspective, but the truth. And as I began to realize this, and as I began to tell my story to myself, as though I were telling it to this man, I began to realize the story wasn't what I thought. I'm not a victim. He's not a perpetrator. I'm someone that was very small, and this happened to me. And if I continue on in this pattern, I will continue to let this happen to me. And I realized I had to allow room for change for everyone in the story. I had to allow room for me to change. I had to allow room for my perpetrator to change, for my daughter's perpetrator to change. And I had to get very, very clear on how I was going to take responsibility for making that happen. And when I realized that, everything changed. And I sat down and I wrote a letter. I wrote a letter to the person most responsible in my mind, the person with whom I had the greatest tension. And in that letter, I wrote, "We are not who we think we are. I am not the victim. You are not the perpetrator. We need to take responsibility for what happened in the past. And that means we need to acknowledge that it happened and we move forward from here. We move forward in the way that brings healing and wholeness to us and to every generation that comes. I want to share my story more fully with you and show you fully what was at stake. And I'll do that through the website. But these are the bare bones of that story. I had 3 weeks to write it down. And when I wrote it down, and when I gave it to my teacher, my life was never the same. When I wrote that story down, I was a telecommunications executive in a small town in upstate New York. And virtually every moment of my life since has been spent preparing for, becoming, and then acting out the persona and the roles that you all know me as. And when I go back to that world, no one there knows me like this. And no one here knows me like that. My life completely transformed. Because, and because I could make lists. Why? Because I faced my story. Because I got honest with myself, because I allowed the wisdom that was in my own story to illuminate me how to bring healing into my life. And that's the second truth. The first truth is that our stories cover up the voice of wisdom in our hearts. But the second truth is that the wisdom we need is actually right within the story that we're running away from. Right within the relationship with the person that we want to run away from. That's where our wisdom is. When we lean into the story with honesty, with the desire for healing, with openness and compassion for ourselves and others, The wisdom that we seek comes up out of the story. And so when we run away from the story, we're actually running away from our own wisdom, from our own awakened, enlivened, liberated self. So our stories are calling out to us over and over again for a reason. Because there's something within them that we need to know. Sometimes they're very dramatic stories. Sometimes it's something very simple. But whatever it is that calls out from within you for healing, that's where the wisdom lies. So to begin, we're going to work with one story. It doesn't have to be the most dramatic story in your life. We'll do some exercises to come to what wants healing in your life. And as I said before, all of this work will be just you working with yourself. So there's no need to worry about confidentiality, no need to have anxiety, what story am I going to pick? Just let go and we'll move through the process, and I think your story will come to you.